Is it Proverbs or Luke? Well, let's do Luke first. We'll start in the New Testament, then we'll go to the Old Testament. As we look to God's Word, we're going to begin. There's Bibles that are in the pews if you didn't bring one. The scripture readings are also going to be on the screen for you to follow as well. We're going to begin with Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, reading verses 43 to 45. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45, let us hear the words of our Lord, who said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." And if you could turn with me also to the book of Proverbs, where we look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. This morning and next week, we're going to be dealing with a very sensitive topic, and that's okay. Don't get nervous. It's your heart. It's the topic of the heart, your heart, my heart. I'm not talking about the organ part, the one that's pumping right now and keeping you alive. It's the deeper part of your heart. So we're going to start this morning, and then if you want to make a note of this, next week, we're going to be in Acts chapter 5. And it's the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah, I know. Important that we look at that passage, of course, because the challenge in that passage is, are you hurting the church? Are you helping the church? So I'm giving you a little bit. That's your little trailer, okay? That's it. Your teaser, that's enough. Acts 5. But this morning we're looking at these two passages and this whole area of our heart condition. And the condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Okay, that's one and very important point this morning that I really would like for you to think about and remember. Okay, so say it with me. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Now, how many of you have a device that you wear that can monitor your heart? Anybody have that special device here? Some of you may have that. Maybe it's an Apple Watch or other devices that you can wear. It's pretty incredible. That gives you your heart rate. So if you're like going for a walk, if you're working out at the gym, you can look at it and it can tell you whether you're exerting enough or not. You're actually working out, or maybe you're not. You're slacking. You need to pick it up. It's incredible today. It amazes me, technology today, that you can have these devices that you wear or that you're hooked up to. Because I know that you might, for your own heart health, have to wear a device every now and then just so that it's monitoring, measuring your heart. So that the doctors can look at the data and tell you, okay, you need some extra help because your heart isn't healthy. So heart health is very important in our day and age. And it's incredible the devices that we have access to that help us
know the physical condition of our heart, but I want to tell you something. I think it'd be really cool if there was a device that could actually tell you a little something deeper, a little bit more deeper about the condition of your heart, and not the physical details, not how fast things are pumping and flowing, but the more spiritual details, the emotional depths and details of your heart. For instance, imagine there was a device that could tell you, that could just maybe out loud, check your heart because you're having higher levels of agitation. Wouldn't that be nice? Probably not good in church if it's a really loud alarm, right? But still, you know what I'm saying? That's just one example. And here's something that I could think of for myself and how that would be good for me. You know, we are a cat family. And this past winter, it's been a long winter. Pastor Lionel said it was even snowing this morning. And you know what? I think not just humans were tired of this very long winter. So we have these two cats, Heidi and Clover, and they've been in, and I know they've been inside a lot longer than they were hoping to be this year, this past winter. And there is nothing like being woken up at around 2 a.m., right, by a cat meowing. I'm tired of winter. Let me out. And I'm a light sleeper, so it doesn't matter how loud any kind of white noise is. I'm going to hear that little meow. And how great it would be if I had a device that said, check your heart, if after night, this cat's or these cats are meowing and they're causing me higher levels of agitation. And that warning could prevent me from doing something that I would regret with these lovely little animals that rule the house. Wouldn't it be nice? Or how about, this would be another one for me personally, having a device that would warn me that I am having too high of levels of sarcasm, right? And that's just another example. Before I spew out something that I shouldn't. As an example, some people, when they find out that I'm a pastor, they're like, so you only work one day a week. What's that vibrating? It's my watch telling me, check your heart before you say something you'll regret and be sarcastic. But you know what? What would you like a device to warn you about, right? Because we're all different. There's a small list. How great it would be to have a device that could tell us the condition of our heart. Maybe it would be for you to detect higher levels of greed or rudeness or resentment or bitterness, negativity or hostility. And you would just love a device that said, check your heart. Okay, you're getting into the danger zone. Be careful. So how about you turn to the person next to you and say, check your heart. It's time to check your heart. This is a good time to start before we keep going. I know. Thank you, Lord. Check your heart. Listen, the condition of your heart, oh, there it is right there. I was going to see if you knew it before I said it. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. And so what is the condition of your heart this morning? The condition of your heart means, listen, it means everything. It means everything to God, right? The one who gave you this heart, the one who knows everything about you, and it means everything to God and it should mean everything to you. Again, not just physically, because yeah, your heart health matters and you need to be healthy, you need to be taking care of your physical heart, but even more so spiritually, right? Your heart matters. And people might not see what is going on in your heart here this morning, but God knows. And perhaps it's possible you haven't been paying attention to the real problem, right, in your life. What you're going through, what you're struggling with. And perhaps the reason is it's your heart and you just haven't yet dealt with that. Or you're holding back from dealing with a very important part of your heart. And again, I'm not talking about the physical part. Because let's face it, often we are treating the symptoms and not just the deeper issue. Would you agree? Sometimes that is what the problem is there too. here's some examples in the natural, okay? But I want you to apply these examples from the natural to the spiritual later if you can. You cannot cure a lung infection with a cough drop, right? No, you need a prescription to get to the real issue and get that cleared up. How about another example? When you have signs that your appendix is about to burst, do not take Tums. I'm not speaking from experience. I would never do that. Who would? No, you need to get yourself to the hospital and get the doctor to remove that appendix before it bursts. You know what I'm saying? So what happens is so often we are not treating the underlying issue of our problems, our issues, our struggles. For example, do you think perhaps you need a job change? Maybe that's not what you need. You need a heart change. Perhaps you're struggling in some relationships and you're like not talking to that person anymore. Maybe you need a heart change, not a complete break and permanent breakdown in that relationship. Maybe your struggle is with finances right now. Maybe I need my finances to change. Wrong. Maybe you need a change of heart. You see where I'm going with this? I hope you realize this morning how important heart health is, and not just in the physical sense. I'm talking more this morning about your heart health spiritually. And why is that? Well, because the heart is vital to who you are. And not just who you are right now, but who you are becoming. The heart is the control panel of your life. So it determines your thoughts. It determines your desires. And it leads to your actions and the words that you say. It is the center of your being. Your heart that God gave you is the center of your character and your spiritual life. Solomon in Proverbs 4 writes, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life," meaning everything you do flows from the drawing out of your heart. And so let me give you three reasons this morning why it is imperative that we are guarding our hearts. Number one, your heart is extremely valuable. It is extremely valuable. We don't guard worthless things, do we? Many of us take out our garbage on Wednesday nights, right? So we get picked up Thursday morning in Campbellford, and all night long, this garbage sits on the sidewalk, completely unguarded. And why is that? Because it's worthless. It's worthless. But not so with your heart. It is the core of who you are. It is where all your dreams, your desires, and your passions live. It is the part of you that connects with God and other people. God created your heart, and He created your heart for Himself. It is the place that only God can fill, and nothing else in this earth will ever satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. As Proverbs 23, verse 26 says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." How is it that we miss this truth so easily? Yes, we live in a world full of distractions and deception, but this morning, remember this important truth that God created your heart for Himself, and only in Him will you find complete rest. Nothing will satisfy your heart other than God Himself. In fact, every day He wants you to know Him and know Him more. Hymn writer George Matheson wrote these words in his hymn, "My Heart Needs Thee, Lord." He writes, "O Lord, my heart needs Thee. No part of my being needs Thee like my heart. All else within me can be filled by Thy gifts. My hunger can be satisfied by daily bread. My thirst by earthly waters, but no outward thing can purify my heart. The world has not provided for my heart. It has provided for my eye, my ear, my touch, my taste, my sense of beauty, but it has not provided for my heart. Provide Thou for my heart, O Lord." And Jesus in the New Testament pointed out the fallen condition of our heart and our extreme need for God. to purify us and forgive us of our sins. He says, from within, out of a man's heart comes evil thoughts. Out of your heart comes sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit. Jesus makes a very big list here, what comes out of our heart. Envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside and make a man unclean. So again, our biggest problem is not outside of us. It's not external, but it's internal. All of us have a heart problem. And in order for a person to be saved from this heart problem, the heart must be changed. And this only happens by the power of God in response to faith, as we put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And this is why Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, keep it. He doesn't say if you get around to it. He doesn't say it would be nice if you did this. No, he says make your heart top priority. Because number one, your heart is very valuable. It's extremely valuable. But number two, because your heart is the source of everything you do. Okay, King Solomon says it's the wellspring of life. I love those words. The wellspring of life. It's the source of everything else in your life. You know, for hundreds of years, a water well was really the most essential part of a village. It was essential to the health and survival of a village. It was, and still in some parts today, its most important resource. That is because, you know, think about what water is used for as it's drawn out of a well. It's used for drinking. It's used for hygiene. It's used for cooking and medicine. Communities flourish because of its water well. But what happens if the well becomes contaminated? What happens when it becomes poisoned? Well, the well is shut down. It becomes useless. And the community, instead of flourishing, begins to crumble and struggle. Who is going to drink that water? Who's going to cook with that water, for that matter? So consider your heart. What are you drawing out of this morning? Your heart overflows, again, into thoughts and into words and into actions. If your heart becomes filled with bitterness, if it becomes contaminated by pride or hurt, it threatens everything about how you live, how you act, how you love and not love, how you comfort and not comfort. Choices can be made that are out of line with God's will if we're not careful with knowing the condition of our heart. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 1, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. This is why coming together is so important, because through worship and word, this is how God's Spirit is working in your life today. Of this I have no doubt. He is inviting you. He is perhaps exposing to you where your heart's at, and it's not set on things above. It's set on earthly things. You see, when our heart is not in the right place, we end up on the wrong path. Anybody else have that experience? Your heart was not in the right place, and so you ended up on the wrong path, and you blew it. You messed up. And you had to then work your way back through restoration, first with God and then with the people in your life that you hurt. So this is real, isn't it, this topic this morning? Because we all have a heart that needs touched by the awesome hand of God. Neglecting the condition of our heart can lead us, again, to making just poor choices in life, choices that do not line up with God's will, nor reflect God's character. In Luke 6 that I read earlier, Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Okay. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. What's Jesus getting at here? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What are you storing up in your heart? Just think about the words you have spoken in this past 24 hours, let alone this past week. Our words are often the best indicator of our heart condition. It really, truly is. Yes, our actions and our attitudes as well, but often, as Jesus says, our words as well. Your words reveal the condition of your heart. So will your actions and behavior. But if you have been struggling, for instance, to forgive someone, or you no longer don't see a problem with what the Bible, God's word, condemns, as sin, you have a heart issue. There could be some hardening happening here. Have you been perhaps having a hard time letting go of some hurts in your life? Or maybe you struggled to be around certain people. Could the problem not be with them, but with your heart? And just like a well, if the water becomes contaminated, it threatens life. Your ability to have joy and be a source of love and wisdom and forgiveness to people around you. Everything depends on the condition of the well, the wellspring of your life. Now, if your heart is unhealthy, again, it has an impact on everything else. That is so true in life. It threatens your family and your friends and your ministry, your career, and indeed your legacy. It is therefore imperative that you guard it, folks. Keep your heart. I'm thankful for King David's words in Psalm 51. And after he confessed his sin to Nathan the prophet, he took ownership of his actions and he prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And then these words, this great prayer, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So yes, two reasons why we have to guard our heart. It's extremely valuable, right? It's the source of everything that we do. But lastly, because your heart is under attack. Your heart is under attack. When Solomon says to guard your heart, he implies that you are living in a combat zone, one to which there are casualties. Many of us are oblivious to the reality of this war. And there's a whole sermon series there. Why is it that we just fail to see what's really happening here? We are living constantly in a warfare where the enemy is bent on your destruction, the destruction of your heart. And he not only opposes God, but he opposes everything that is aligned with him. The word of God, the name of Jesus. And as you live and raise up the name of Jesus, you become a target of the enemy. But the enemy uses all kinds of tactics to attack our heart. If your heart is unhealthy, of course, it threatens everything else around you. If the condition of your heart is that it's been hardened or that you've allowed it to be filled with that list of things that I mentioned earlier, it will affect the way you live for Christ around you. This is why if you and I are going to thrive as followers of Christ, we must guard our hearts. Consider the word guard. Just think about the word keep. The word guard is a personal responsibility, and no one can do that for you. We are to guard against the attacks of Satan. We are to keep and guard our hearts from the attacks of the world, the temptations of the flesh. Those three biggest enemies, right? Satan, the world, and the flesh that are constantly at us, bringing us down, trying to take our heart out of living for Jesus and his kingdom. So guarding your heart, it's not optional. This is not speaking about a certain conviction. This is a direct command from God. Therefore, our action is to begin immediately to keep your heart. So how do I guard my heart, you might be wondering? How should I apply this to my life? Well, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, because the answer was just before this very important verse on guarding your heart. And I want to take your attention and have you look with me back in Proverbs 4, verse 1, for instance, which says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Keep in mind, how do I guard my heart? Well, verse 1, what does it say? Okay, listen to your father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. How about verse 5? Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. How about verse 13? Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. I think you're probably seeing the answer pretty clearly, the pattern here. Verses 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. So here we learn the key to guarding our heart is to guard the godly instruction that is already within your heart, that God is filling into your heart as you read his word and study his word and meditate on his word. We are told that God's word is your life, and they are life to those who find them. So the way to keep your heart is to feed on scriptures daily, the pure life-giving words of God. The flip side is this: if I don't feed my heart on God's word, if I feed it with junk from the internet, if I feed it with worldly ambitions and desires, I'm training it to desire sinfully. So we must read and study and listen to God's word. We need to know what God's word says about our heart. And there's a lot that is said. Because the heart is, above all, deceitful and wicked. You cannot just follow it. You need God's word impressed upon it and follow God as he leads your focused heart on him. We must be in God's word as followers of Christ, as a community of faith. We must keep the truth close to us. I love where it kind of acknowledges, don't soar from it. Keep it. Keep it centered. Do not let this instruction out of your sight. And those with little kids, so I know what that's like. When you take them to the park and they run off and you got more than one, keeping them all in eyesight is so important. It's the same with God's word. Do not let God's word out of your sight. The Bible teaches us, listen, all humanity has a spiritual heart problem. We have a spiritual heart problem because of this thing called sin. We have been disobeying God. We are born into this world separated from God because of sin. We committed treason against the holy God because we have a damaged, a bad, a diseased, a sinful heart. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The hearts of sinful humanity are so hardened that we cannot even seek God on our own. Romans 3 verse 11 says, "There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God." And that's why Jesus said there is no one that can come to him unless the Father first draws him. So we desperately need new hearts, for we are unable on our own to soften our own hardened hearts. And a change of heart, a change of heart toward God requires a supernatural transformation. Jesus called it being born again. In John 3, verse 3, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." You see, God sent his one and only Son, and his name is King Jesus. And we have been worshiping him here this morning. And he paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for my sin. On the cross, Jesus took my place and your place. What are we reminded of at the cross? Well, we deserve the cross. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath. We deserve death because Jesus went there for us. And as a result, he paid the price for our sin. And it even gets better. Not only did Jesus pay the price for your sin and mine, our wicked, diseased heart, but he offers us his heart. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. For it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So in Christ, when you have put your trust in him to save you from your sins, we have a new heart. We are born again spiritually. God performs a heart transplant, to say it like that. He gives us a new heart. Once we were spiritually dead, now, praise the Lord, we are spiritually alive. And the power of the Holy Spirit changes our hearts from sin-focused to now God-focused. Everything in our life changes when Jesus rules in our heart. And if you know Jesus today as your Savior and Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Your life completely changes when Jesus is now reigning supreme in the throne room of your heart. It's amazing how he changes us, because we then begin to love what he loves and detest what he detests. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of God's presence in our life. And receiving him, the moment we receive him, we are then filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we do not become perfect. We still have our sinful flesh and the freedom to choose whether to obey or disobey God's word. However, when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of sin that controls us. And receiving him as our Savior gives us access to God and his power, a power to transform our hearts. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to please God. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence, that also enables us to live for Jesus and like Jesus. Now, if you are here this morning and you have repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you have been given a new heart, and the Holy Spirit of God now resides in you. So that's why we actually do not need to wear a device that allows us to check our heart, because that device is the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wear this device that warns us, check your heart. Your sarcasm's on the rise. Your pride is on the rise. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us that is constantly preaching to us, check your heart. Check your heart. Because without the Holy Spirit's help, we can't desire the things of God. We all crave whatever we will think will make us happy. But with the Holy Spirit, we are able to live like Jesus. With his power at work in us, filling us daily, he will keep our hearts right and following after Jesus. So this morning, what's your heart condition? It's so important to God, and it matters to him. Does it matter to you? And as we go into this time of prayer, I'd invite you to just look to God and ask him to search your heart to see if there is any part of your heart that needs to be dealt with this morning before you leave this place. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us each one a heart. And Lord, we now come before you. And Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you. God, would you help us to keep our focus, the focus of our hearts on you and on you alone. And Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we have allowed the things of this world to come between us and you. Lord, as we have this time of prayer, as we now respond in worship to the ministry of your word, to the ministry of your Spirit at work and stirring in this place, Lord, you can have my heart. May this be the prayer in your life today. Lord, you can have my heart. You can have my whole heart. You can have everything. Here I am. Use me. Lord, we give you praise for Jesus our Savior, the one who paid it all so that we could be free. We thank you that as we worship you, Lord, may we just once again remember how important it is that our hearts are lined up with yours. And that if there is anyone here this morning that is in need, Lord, of healing in their heart, Lord, of a heart now to be stirred and filled with a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and rest on us. That each one of us will know without a doubt, God, your hand at work in our lives, leading us closer to you, to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.